One of the beautiful things about real estate is that, once you get your business running, you have your systems in place, it really allows you to do what you feel called to do. And that could still be doing your W-2 job. It could be volunteering. For everyone, it's different.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jonathan Nichols is a real estate investor local to the DFW Metroplex. He began his REI career after having worked for 6 years in the aerospace engineering industry as a propulsion engineer. His past real estate projects include numerous residential real estate investments and a top-rated short-term rental business in the Arlington Entertainment District. Currently, Jonathan and his wife Paula co-founded Apogee Capital, a multifamily real estate investing firm where they syndicate apartments in Texas and Oklahoma. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam. Excited to be here.
Hey, man, I'm excited to have you on. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. Quickly, where did you start? Where are you now? How did you get there?
Yeah, absolutely. So this story includes my wife. Her name is Paula. And so Paula and I got married 4 years ago, and we knew absolutely nothing about real estate when we got married. But like many young couples, we bought a house. And so that was kind of our first real estate purchase, if you will. But a few years ago, we started just coming across different resources for real estate investing, like the Bigger Pockets podcast. We read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that's kind of what sparked our interest in the industry. So, we're both pretty gung-ho people. So we jumped in right away and wound up house hacking a fourplex in Arlington. And so that was how we got started. We purchased that, hit the ground running, and never looked back. Since then, we actually converted that fourplex to a short-term rental business and added a couple other short-term rentals to our portfolio. But as we continue to be more and more interested in real estate, we realize that in order to make it a full-time business, you have to scale. And one of the best ways to scale is, of course, multifamily properties. Don't think I have to convince too many people of that. And so we began learning about multifamily, went out to dinner with every multifamily investor we could find here in DFW, listened to all the podcasts, read the books. And then last year, about the beginning of the pandemic, really jumped in full force. We joined a mentorship program, started looking at deals, underwriting, and along with a group of partners, we just closed on 100 unit. A month ago, that was our first big syndication project. And then now we're actually under contract. We're purchasing an 8-unit here in Arlington, but we're going to be converting it to short-term rentals. So it's kind of a hybrid between multifamily and short-term. So that's our long story short.
No, man, I think that's great. And obviously you've made the progression that a lot of people have. I love that you started with the fourplex first. Like I think just getting the that scale even out of the gate is a great way to start. And I was going to ask that question, your journey from short-term rentals to multifamily, but it doesn't sound like you've written off the short-term rentals in favor of multifamily. It's a two-prong approach.
It is. So here's the deal, Sam. Anyone that's underwriting deals in multifamily right now in this market, especially really hot markets like Dallas, realizes that as an operator, most of your pay comes on the back end, on the sell of the property. And so you kind of wind up with this conundrum where you're trying to do all this work to get these deals put together, but you're probably not going to get paid for it for several years. And so my personal thought process is that the short term is exactly the opposite. It's a great cash flow business. It's not, obviously, depending on what you buy, may not be quite as heavy on the equity and appreciation, especially if you're doing more of an arbitrage type model, but it's a great cash flow business. And so I actually happen to think that the two complement each other very well. The only caveat I would add to that is that, people always talk about passive investing. We both know that, being an active multifamily investor, it is work and you have a lot of responsibility to your LPs. I would argue, though, that short-term rentals is even a step above that in having to be active. It takes a lot of oversight to keep it running at, sort of an optimum level. And so it's been great for us right now. I suspect in 5 years, I won't be doing it anymore. But right now, I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're absolutely right. That's something that, short of, potential acquisition fees on the front end on larger multifamily deals, it is generally a longer-term play. You're looking at an equity split on the back end when the deal sells or after you've hit your preferred return hurdles or whatever, however you structure the deal. So today's payday is not likely.
Sure.
I love the fact that you're using short-term rentals to kind of augment the lack of income potentially on the front end when you're building your multifamily business. What has it been like? You know, I guess it's been what, a year? Did it take you a year to get your first deal done, basically, or a year and a half?
Yeah, about 10 or 11 months, very close to it. You know, I would say from when we were 100% committed to signing the closing papers, about 10 or 11 months.
Was there ever a point in time in there when you're like, man, this is just not going to work?
Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment. So, you know, the deal that we wound up closing, we closed with a group of partners in the Tulsa market. So I look in both Texas and Oklahoma for multifamily. But we were best and final on about three deals here in the DFW Metroplex. One of them, it came down between us and one other buyer, and we were ahead on price going into best and final. So I thought, hey, this is it. We're going to get it, you know? And then, you know, it was about a $4 million deal or so, and they wound up outbidding us by like $100,000 on best and final, which, you know, at that amount on that size deal, there's no way you're going to catch up to that unless you're just willing to accept reduced returns, which we couldn't. So, you know, that was very discouraging, you know, just going through all that and the time it takes, especially while working full time, can be pretty taxing. But, you know, it's a business that rewards the persistence. So, you know, you have to be persistent and not quit if you're going to succeed.
Yeah, I like that. What was your strategy for finding opportunities? I mean, were you sending out mailers? Were you doing stuff, you know, all in the nights and weekends, or how did you find deals?
Yeah, so I've used almost exclusively broker relationships. You know, the mentoring program that we're a part of really promotes that. And I found it to be best, you know, most people, especially on any sizable multifamily property, are going to want to sell with a broker in this market. And, you know, having those relationships. And I'll tell you, Sam, like, this is a little bit of a tangent to your question, but, you know, if I could go back a year ago, you know, when I started focused on finding the deals, finding the brokers, looking at the deals, and definitely I've gained some valuable relationships that will, I think, be fruitful going forward. But if I had to give advice to myself a year ago starting in multifamily, I would really say focus on the capital raise, because, you know, when you get to the point where you can raise, I don't know, $500,000 or so, you're a viable candidate to be a part of a GP team that may be a lot better at sourcing deals than you're going to be as a new multifamily investor. And so I don't think that year has been wasted time by any means. I just think that in terms of really hitting the ground running, that's something different I could have done to accelerate progress.
Right. No, and that's absolutely true. And I've heard that same line from countless investors who have said, man, early on, as opposed to doing the things I did, I should have focused on the capital raise side of things. And, you know, everybody's gotten over that hurdle in time. But it just is one of those things that maybe could accelerate other people's growth if they started there sooner.
So sure.
That's really interesting. What was that like? Did you get any blowback from family, or did you get any blowback from people in your outside of maybe your mentorship group who are like, wait, I thought you were a propulsion engineer. What are you buying multifamily for? What's that look like?
Yeah, I would say that right now in my life, I really have almost different buckets, if you will, of relationships. And so I kind of have the people who are, you know, more used to, you know, me as the engineer and, you know, haven't talked to them about multifamily as much, and then those in the real estate world that I've met in the last few years. But the few people who do overlap, like family as an example, mostly supportive, you know, definitely a lot of questions up front. One thing I did well was early on when we started looking into multifamily, mind you, this being 10, 11 months before we actually purchased a property, was really kind of priming the pump and talking to those relationships about what we were doing and saying, hey, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is how you can be involved and how it can help you. Because, you know, when you talk about, you know, speaking with people about a large investment in something that they may not be familiar with, it takes time to educate those people and allow them to go on their own journey and become comfortable with multifamily as an investment.
Yeah, that's so true. That's absolutely so true. I like the idea of priming the pump, and especially, yeah, like you said, it's a large investment. If they don't know what it is or how it works, it takes time to educate and get comfortable with that. What were some of the methods you used to educate the people who are investing with you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, having like a sample deal, which is a bit of a moving target, right? Because your criteria for what you're looking for can very much change from when you start. So I think I have about four sample deals, but, you know, always having a sample deal that you can just tell a story with. You know, investing, you know, talking to investors about a specific property, it's about the story behind that property. You know, this property came from this. It's in this condition. This is what we see in it as a potential and how we can take it there. You know, and I think communicating that story is crucial if you want to get people on board with your investment. And so the same thing works with the sample deal, you know, telling people that you have the ability to, you know, put that story together for the property, define that value add component, you know, where you're going to contribute to the property. It goes a long way in developing confidence within your investors that, you know, allows them to invest with you once you do get a real deal.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's an often overlooked thing that you just mentioned with story. What is the story behind the deal? I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I get deals sent to me like this, return this, this, this. And I'm like, yeah, but what's the... Give me the non-quantitative, like, tell me why this is a good deal.
Right.
Tell me what's going on that makes this opportunity, you know, worth investing in. So I think that's another key point you've made for our listeners is that, you know, focusing on the story is as important as obviously making sure your numbers are correct. Cause without a good story.
Right. Absolutely. And understand that if I can do it, you know, anyone can, because, you know, coming from an engineering background, the numbers, the analysis, that comes very naturally. I have no problems looking up comps and understanding how to put that in my model and run numbers. But the story behind it, you know, is what you need to sell. And so, you know, anyone who's more numbers oriented like myself, that's what I would encourage you to focus on is, you know, take it out of the nitty gritty and bring it up to a level where investors are going to buy into it.
Right, right. Man, that's great. I love that. Has there been any bad advice or have there been things that you were told that weren't necessarily accurate in your real estate journey?
Anytime someone said you can't do this, you know? Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the thing about real estate is that it's like we're all climbing a mountain and there's definitely some wrong ways you can go, but there are a lot of ways to get to the top of the mountain. There's more than one trail. And so, you know, for me, starting out house hacking was great. Having a short-term rental business was great. I know people who started straight off with multifamily and they're doing outstanding. You know, it's a great path for them. And so I don't know if I have a specific thing that someone said, you know, where I'm like, oh, just strongly disagree with that, other than, you know, anything discouraging or, you know, belittling is, you know, never helpful, right? And most people in multifamily and commercial real estate are very helpful. But, you know, occasionally you come across someone that's like, oh, well, you got to start with, you know, a 16 unit, or you got to start with this, or you can't raise more than this. And, you know, I would just say, be realistic, but also really push yourself to do your best, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Becoming a propulsion, or I guess an aerospace, what are you, aerospace propulsion engineer? Is that your title? What's your...
Yeah. Yeah. So my degree's aerospace engineering, but I work in propulsion. So I do all things jet engines on helicopters specifically.
That's really cool. Good for you. I can't imagine. Yeah. I can do basic math. So I know you got a lot of math involved in what you're working on. So that's really cool. I mean, and there's a lot of education and a lot of training that goes into that. Do you someday see yourself phasing out of the engineering field?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The whole crux of the engineering education, if you will, is to learn to think and solve problems. You know, 90% of the coursework that I learned in school, and I was in school for a total of 7 years, 90% of it I don't use in my job, probably higher than that, really.
Right.
But it's all about taking problems that seem impossible and then applying level, you know, straight principles to those problems in order to solve them. And so I think that's a valuable skill no matter what industry you're in, including real estate. And so, you know, I love aerospace. I've been a fan of it ever since I was a kid. I do see that, you know, my personal strengths and stuff really bode well with the real estate industry. And so definitely see myself, you know, running our business full time, you know, sometime in the near future and doing that. And I think the things I've learned from engineering will complement well in that industry. As far as, you know, future work in aerospace, we'll see, you know, it just kind of depends. I'm always up for an exciting project. So, you know, one of the beautiful things about real estate is that, you know, once you get your business running, you have your systems in place, it really allows you to do what you feel called to do. And that could still be doing your W-2 job. It could be volunteering. For everyone, it's different, but that freedom is definitely something I think that is universal amongst all investors that they're looking for.
Man, that's super cool. Jonathan, I've super enjoyed this interview today. You know, you've shared with us a lot of really key points. I love your positivity around, you know, not wasting the 7 years in school, from, you know, how to partner, how to scale, you know, just learning all the things that you have in such a short time. That's been really impressive. Let's jump into the final four questions here. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
Such a great question, because ironically, the fourplex house hack that we did, I think it was right around $20,000 to close. Honestly, the house hack is one of the best ways to get started in real estate. You know, you get 97% government-backed leverage on an asset, which any investor would kill for, you know, ongoing. And so it's definitely something I think everyone should take advantage of. And so that's what I would do if I was starting over with $20,000.
I love it. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Yeah, I would say never make decisions based on emotions. You know, when you're analyzing properties, don't ever, if you start having to tell yourself, I think this, then you don't have the analysis done well enough. You know, you have to, you know, to a certain extent, know. So you're looking at maintenance, for example, on a property. Look at the history on the property. Has it been taken care of? You know, are you really going to have, you know, 2% maintenance expenses just because you repair it? Probably not. So I would say just being realistic with yourself, being honest with yourself, you know, do I really believe what I'm telling myself, or am I just telling myself something to make numbers work?
Right. No, that's fair. That's a fair point. And many have fallen into that trap. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've been a runner and triathlete for 10 years now. It is something I absolutely love to do. Never can get enough time to train. Done a lot of different long distance races. And so several years back, my wife said, hey, I'm fully supportive of you doing this, but like, you need to make this count for something. And so find something to raise money for, or do something for. And something that's always been on my heart is veterans. I myself am not a veteran. I don't even really have any veteran family members, but I just have a high appreciation and respect for, you know, people that have served our country. And so I am kind of a pseudo member of a local veterans nonprofit organization, and am able to raise money through my races for them. And I love doing that. I'm a little hesitant to even say that though, because ironically, I feel like what I've gotten from that organization is way more than what I've ever been able to give. And so I just want to make that caveat that it's really been a blessing for me, to be honest to you.
Yeah, well, that's the giver's gain. I mean, you know, that's it's just part of it. Usually you do get more out of giving than you can possibly get. So
couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And not that you do it for that reason, but it's just the way the world works. So
it really is. No doubt.
That's awesome, man. Good for you. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I, our company, our multifamily investing company is called Apogee Capital. Apogee is basically, in aerospace engineering, is a term that signifies basically the furthest point you can reach in an orbit. So if you're putting a satellite or rocket or something like that into orbit, it shows the furthest it can get away from a given body. If you look at the dictionary definition of apogee, it's basically reaching your potential, or kind of that highest point that you can reach. So at Apogee Capital, our goal is to help investors, you know, reach their financial potential. So if that's something that interests you, if you want to invest in commercial real estate, you can find more about us at our website, which is Apogee, APOGEEMFC, as in multifamilycapital.com. We've got a great ebook. It's free. People can download it, read through it about passive investing. You can set up time on my Calendly to chat with me. You know, any way we can serve you, we're happy to help.
Awesome. Jonathan, thanks so much, man. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.